Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. This week, previewing the 2022 John Deere Classic. So we'll have some fun with that, of course. We'll recap the Travelers for a bit. Probably talk some live because that's what's going on in the world these days. And much, much more. Check out the podcast on Twitter at Always Press DFS. I'm on Twitter at BD Intric, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Another fun week of golf. It was not a good DFS week last week. It was brutal with some mad made cuts. How was your week?
I actually played one lineup and it was 6 of 6.
Nicely done. There was not very many 6 of 6s this week, so you played pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wish I would have. Obviously, wish I would have played more money, which is always the case whenever I have a good lineup. But I wasn't like super into the tournament, so I wasn't gonna play a lot to begin with. And yeah, of course, that one week. And then everybody kind of shit the bed on Sunday. But I did win Junkies. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
No, I did not. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. Well done. I'm the segment leader.
Oh, man, you jumped up big time. Look at you.
That was the first tournament of the segment.
If people are watching the video, that was the biggest smile I think I've ever seen Jesse have on this show. Just throwing that out there. but no, that's good. That's good stuff. It was a fun week of golf. Like Thagala, brutal finish for him. Xander, it's like ever since Liv showed up, all the big guys are winning right now, which is very entertaining to see.
It's true, yeah.
But Xander did his thing. There's some other names kind of floating around. Kiz had a run and then kind of do nothing on Sunday. Cantlay just completely shit the bed on Sunday. It was good golf. It was fun, but nothing like crazy. And what did you think about it?
I didn't watch any of it. I had no idea. I was on the golf course actually myself. Right. Yes, yeah. Getting rained on and or waiting on it to stop raining. So, yeah, it was a long weekend for me. I have really no takes on it other than I wish I would have played more money.
Yeah, that would have been something because I had my 20 max like I usually do. I had 0 6 of 6s for the first time in a long, long time.
It was 2%.
Yeah, it was brutal. I had like 4 or 5 of 6s. It was just a rough week all around the board. So it happens. It's fine. I'm not as mad because the week before things were okay. So we can kind of move on from that one. But this is going to be a fun week. The John Deere is going to feel like a Corn Ferry event. Daniel Berger already withdrew. And I saw somewhere Webb Simpson and Christian Bezenhout are the only two in the top 75 in the OWGR in this field. So just let that sink in. The LIV event in Portland has a better field technically than this tournament. So did you want to talk LIV at all or just want to go talk John Deere?
I think people are here for the John Deere Classic. Okay. We've given our LIV takes before. They've got DK has some contests out there. It's all showdown, so there you go.
Matty Wolf on the way over there, so we'll see who's next. There's still, if you look at their lineup for the week, there's still two silhouettes to join the field, so we'll have to wait and see. And last thing, we don't have to talk about LIV, but what did surprise me, because I wasn't focused on it a bunch, but I saw it like on Instagram or something, the number two ranked amateur in the world jumped and joined LIV.
Yeah,
that was a big, big move.
He was playing for Oklahoma State this past year, and he's actually, I don't know if he still is injured, but like during the NCAA tournament, he was injured. So I'm not really sure if he's recovered or what the deal is. But yeah, there you go. They got him.
Interesting stuff. Yeah, that was an interesting move. It was kind of surprising, but we'll see if that keeps things going.
It does make sense, though, if like you're not a PGA Tour member, go ahead and get money now. And then like they have no say over what you can do at this point. So get paid now and then try to make a run at the PGA Tour, assuming that this LIV thing doesn't work out, or if they work out a deal where they can still play on it, So,
yeah, because what if, maybe you're not as good as you thought you were, at least you got a little spending money to figure things out for sure. But let's go. John Deere time. We got 2 weeks till the Open Championship, Scottish Open next week. So we'll see how that one plays out. But we have the John Deere this week. It's usually the week before the Open, not so much this year. So it's a very weak field, as I kind of hinted at earlier. We have a lot of past history here. It's been at TPC Deer Run for a long time. So what do you got for us?
Yep. So last year, Lucas Glover won this tournament 19 under, two shots over Ryan Moore and Kevin Na. 2020 was canceled due to COVID. 2019 was Dylan Fratelli, 21 under, two shots over Russell Henley. 2018 was Michael Kim, 27 under, which is the 4-day record at this course, eight shots over Bronson Burgoon, Joel Dahman, Francisco Molinari, Sam Ryder. And then 2017 was Bryson, 18 under, one shot over Patrick Rogers. Ryan Moore won it in 2016. Spieth won this twice. He's not in the field. Brian Harman's past winner, Zach Johnson, Steve Stricker's won it three times. He actually won it three times in a row from 2009 to 2011.
Yeah, it's a lot of course history, a lot of the similar names as you mentioned. Shorter golf course, a lot of first-time winners here, Spieth, Harman, Bryson, Fratelli, and others. So you can definitely break through there. Fratelli was one of the few that did it in his first ever time playing there. So that's something to keep in mind. A little bit of history here does help. Like I said, TPC Deer Run, not the longest of golf courses, but a very interesting layout for a golf course. Par 71. 7,268 to 7,300 yards. They're going to move the tee boxes around from what I was reading. Four par threes, 11 par fours, three par fives. Par five is extremely gettable, especially the second hole. It's got a eagle rate of 4%, a birdie rate of almost 51%. So if your guy's not scoring there, maybe look at live showdowns. I don't know. But that's how I would look at that. A lot of these holes, you have a handful of par fours that have 20 to 25% birdie rates because they're under 400 yards, but the par fours, the 11 par fours are quite spread out. That's what I'll say. You have a couple under 400, some of the 450, 450 to 500. So it's not like just one bubble to look at per se. They have it spread out quite a bit. Approach game, as always, is very important. Par threes are very scoreable. The fairways are decent size. You need to hit them though. And most, like I think I read 65 to 70% of the players will hit them because the rough is like the only penal thing at this golf course. It's tree line fairways, but big fairways. Rough is like 4 inches thick, and that's going to eat you up. There's rough around the greens, but the greens are very large in size. Greens regulations are usually not an issue here if you're hitting out of the fairway, and that's why Jesse mentioned such great scoring. It turns into a kind of a putting fest at some point in time, but a lot of your approaches will be about 125 to 150, give or take. You want to nail par five scoring. Par four as a whole is important, but you don't have just one set bucket, like I said. And I guess scrambling if you are missing there, but because you don't want bogeys, you want to avoid the bogeys. But birdie or better opportunities gained would be something I'd be looking at as well. But it's a pretty gettable course based on the scores. Just stay in the fairway and you'll have a good shot here. So what's your thoughts on this stat-wise, Jesse?
Yeah. I mean, birdie or better, obviously, for sure. Plenty of course history. Par five scoring matters. And then, yeah, luck box putting, if you can figure that out.
Yeah, luck box putting, because like there's a couple guys – and you go, well, we go through the model here and be like, oh, this guy's disgusting. And then you look at their past history and they've been great here. So you're like, okay, do I take the past history, the recent form? What do we do here? And like, I was just looking at one for fun because like Cam Champ, who finished, I think it was second here or eighth here or something, 11th. Last go around. And he gained like three or four strokes gained putting. It was just one of those like bomb the course and putted his butt off. So anything's possible. You don't have to be a long driver here. So I don't want to just say that with Cam Champ. Obviously, it's going to help. Easy to hit fairways, but it's not necessary. All right, let's get to the DK picks on this slate. This should be a quick show because it is the John Deere. But 10K and above, you got Webb Simpson at 10.6, Adam Hadwin at 10.4, Sihith Thigala at 10.1, and Jason Day sitting there at $10,000. Jesse, who do you like?
Yeah, the John Deere Classic presented by the Corn Ferry Tour.
Yeah, that's why. But it makes sense. Birdie scores, man. Corn Ferry, it's what they do. Tons of birdies.
It's true. So start at the top with Webb. He's been playing well enough recently. You know, he played last week, finished 13th. I mentioned him last week. I was regretting initially that I didn't play him, and I really ended up like if I had him over Riley, I would have had a much better lineup because Davis Riley.
Disappeared.
I think that's his name. Yeah, he sucked on the weekend. Mm-hmm. He barely made the cut, first of all.
Then he withdrew from this event.
Perfect. Good. I'll have to play him again. Especially like 10,000. Him and Berger were probably going to be above 10K.
Probably, yeah.
So Webb hasn't played here since 2010. Finished 21st that year. Finished 39th the year before that. Missed the cut the year before that. So I think he's fine. Hadwin he's got good course history, but it's 2016, 2015, 8th and 18th. I mean, put as much weight in that as you'd like. Finished 7th at the U.S. Open his last time out. Has made 4 straight cuts on tour. I mean, really the only guy that I'm going to play for sure, assuming I play more than one lineup. If I just play one lineup, I may not play anybody above 9,500. But Thigala, second place last week. I talk about him every fucking week. I'm not going to beat on.
This is what happens. It's like the 18th hole for Thigala on Sunday. He's trying to win, and it just disappears. So Jesse's going to leave and come back, and we're going to talk some Sahith Thigala, who is going to be a great pick this week and a very popular pick this week at the wonderful ripe price of $10,100. So Jesse won't be alone in those thoughts. Let's put it that way, because Sahith was so close to getting it done. He's going to be really close to getting it done here pretty, pretty soon. So it'll be something to definitely to keep in mind when we check that out. And now Jesse is back. We hear him. You were talking Sahith Thigala.
Yeah, I'm about to just take this mic and like literally just break it in half. This has been the worst mic in the history of man. Yeah, Thigala. That's the guy I'm going to play up top. So that's it.
Yeah. Like you said, Webb is fine if you want to pay up here. You don't need to, but he's 9th in my model. He should be higher, you'd think, but that's just because he's just starting to play well again. Adam Hadwin's 8th in my model. He's 3rd in DK scoring over the last 24 rounds in this field. Take that for what you wish. So you mentioned the course history here is outstanding. So that's interesting. And the one thing I was saying while you were off is Thigala is probably the greatest play up here. Probably been the most popular play by far.
Yeah, for sure.
So we got to keep that in mind. Like, this is such a wide open event. I mentioned so many first time scorers and our winners here and just and stuff like that. And I say it a lot and people probably get annoyed by it, but it's just like tournament strategy. This is the perfect event to play ownership. The perfect one. Cause literally you're deciding between a guy that they both have like probably like 60% miscut equity. It's just like, well, okay, I'll take the lower owned guy. So
the other thing is like everybody's overpriced, right? So yep. you see certain prices on guys. You're like, there's no way in hell I'm gonna pay that much. Yep. So everybody else is thinking that same thing. So it is a great place to zag when everybody, you know, is zigging.
And you'll get a lot of people that just know certain names, so they're going to flock to those names.
Sure.
That's going to be another thing as well. But I'm with you. I think they're all great. Sahith would be the guy I would love to play up here if he's super chalky. We'll see. It's one of those, like, if he's 35%, you either play, like, 60% of him or you don't play much at all. Like, yeah. You either go way over the field or don't play it at all. So we'll have to kind of wait and see how that one plays out. 9K range, you got Denny McCarthy at 99, McNeely at 95, CH3 at 93, CBez at 91. What do you got here?
Oh, that's all? There's only 4 guys in the 9,000.
Four guys this week, yep.
The only one I've got checked off is Charles Howell. $9,300. Course history is great. I mean, for Charles Howell, hasn't missed a cut here since 2012, finished 23rd here last year, 6th the time before that, which was 19, and has had some solid finishes recently, and has had kind of an up and down a little bit of a year, but I think he's fine, and that's like literally the only guy I want to play in this range.
A lot of guys want Matt McNeely. He's coming in playing some shaky golf, so I'm not in love with it. If I have to give any insight on why you might want to, his par fives, 550 to 600s, were the bucket of all three of them. He's 7th in the field in the last 24 rounds. He's 1st in opportunities gained in the last 24 rounds. But a lot of his approach game is disgusting. So pick your poison there. But CH3, I'm with you 100%. He's 3rd in my model, 3rd off the tee, 6th in good drives, 7th in the par 4 scoring, playing really, really good golf right now. Just get hot with the putter or don't. That'll be the deciding factor for CH3. So I like him a lot. And I will say at CBez at 91, I am a sucker for him because I just think he's way more talented than a lot of guys in this field. Only rates out 45th in my model because I think where my weighting's at, he's not great in par 5 scoring. And I have that weighted very heavily in this field. And he's kind of average across the board everywhere else over the last 24 rounds. I just really love his talent and his approach game. But maybe he's more broken than I think. It's just a blind spot I have. But CBez at 91 would be a guy I'd be looking at as well, especially in my 20 max. 8K range, you got Scott Stallings at 89, P-Rodge at 88, Nick Hardy at 87, Adam Long 86, Todd 85, Cam Davis, who was great for 2 days and then disappeared at 84, The Glove at 83, Griffin Lonto at 82, CT Pan 81, JT Poston, and Cam Champ both at 8,000. This range is going to be so much fun this week.
Is it a Patrick Rogers week?
It is a P-Rodge week, yes.
Okay.
100%.
Well, then I will say yes to him. 23rd, 43rd, second in his last three appearances at this course, and has played solid. You know, the U.S. Open, he was in contention for a little while and sucked on Saturday or Sunday. Yeah. Most definitely Nick Hardy. I would like to know how chalky he's going to be. I mean, like,
after last week, yeah.
Like, if I played 20 lineups, I might just lock him in and, like, play him in all 20. That's how good I feel about him. He's made the cut here twice. Last appearance was 2018, finished 43rd, 55th in 2017. Coming off injury, so he's had three starts now. He's made all three cuts, 35th Canadian Open, 14th U.S. Open, 8th Travelers Championship. So you can kind of see where that's going. So I love Nick Hardy. Adam Long, two made cuts in a row here in two appearances, finished 23rd here last year, coming off a 25th place finish last week, playing solid golf. Cam Davis, like you said, he didn't have a great weekend at all. His course history here is, 55th, 53rd, shot over par both days on the weekend, but most definitely in play this weekend. Last but not least, Lucas Glover, obviously the defending champion, finished 10th the year before that. He's just Lucas Glover. So, I mean, he literally could finish last, or I could see him in the top 10.
He gets that about most of this field. So I'm 100% with you on that one. Yes, P. Raj, we go back to the war, recent form, course history, 31st in my model. He's fifth in the par four scoring, ninth in DK points. I'll go to that. Well, Nick Hardy, 100% with you on that. Adam Long, been riding that train as well. I actually thought Adam Long might be more expensive in this quality of a field, to be honest, but here we are at $8,600. Cam Davis, I'm going back to that. Well, I mentioned it last week. Really good on short courses. And in this field, he's fifth in approach for the last 24 rounds, fourth in the par five scoring we're looking at, ninth in opportunities gained. It's just keep it in the fairway off the tee. He's got a lot of chances to do some damage and go really, really low. So I like that for Cammy Cam. You mentioned Lucas Glover, no problem there. The next three guys rate out really well for me. Lanto Griffin crushed souls last week. Crushed many. He just played so bad. Back-to-back missed cuts now. So the recent form is just dreadful from Lanto. And he played her in 2018 and finished 60th. So not great here. But he's second in my model, which is terrifying. Great on par fives. Great on the par fours here. First in DK scoring in this field over the last 24 rounds. So take that for what you want. The overall form has been really bad, but he rates out really good. So go figure. Around the green is what's crushing him. That's the only stat that looks horrible right now. CT Pan's another guy that I just keep coming back to at $8,100. He came off the miscut last week as well. Two made cuts prior to that. And when you look at this event, miscut last year, T34 2018. Really good approach game from CT Pan. So he's a tournament play. And last but not least, JT Poston. Great week last week. And he's fourth in my model, fourth in DK scoring, first in par four scoring. Get hot with the putter, and Poston can do some things here. And when you look at JT Poston, back-to-back miscuts here, then a T65 and a T64. Not good course history, as you know, but second last week, miscut 37th. Sounds like JT Poston to me. But we know on these kind of courses, if he can get it in the fairway and get hot with the putter, he can go really, really, really low. So at 8K, he's a tournament play as well. Let me ask you about this one, because he rates out really well, and I cannot click the button, but Scott Stallings is looking very strong. And it's a weak field where he usually shows up, it feels like.
See, that's that guy. That's like that guy, that price. You know, like, yep. Fuck me. Am I going to pay that much for Scott Stallings coming off the eighth place finish last week?
Yep.
I mean, like, he is literally boom or bust.
Four of his last five cuts here.
Eighth place, miscut, miscut. Fourth, miscut. 25th, miscut, miscut. 13th, 16th, 42nd.
Makes the cut. Good things happen, folks.
I mean, that to me, like, would be an ownership play, right? So if he's going to be chalky, I'd be a guy that I would avoid. If he's not going to be chalky, I would. Yes. I agree with that 100%.
That's why I wanted to bring him up, because he's so tilting, but in a tournament, he's what you're looking for. Because the one thing that people get tilted at, and since it's a quick show, I can give 2 minutes of time here. People get annoyed by miscuts. Yes, it sucks. No doubt about it.
Sure.
But what you're doing here is trying to get leverage on the field, because if he does make the cut, you're going to jump so many people. Like, the whole idea of a GPP is to win the whole thing, not min cash. If you want to min cash, go play a cash game. Mm-hmm. That's the idea. So you have to take annoying chances like this. I talk about it in baseball. We talk about it in football. And that's why guys like Scott Stallings, as annoying as they are, when Jesse read off his last, like, 10 events, when he makes the cut, he's probably in some of the top 10 lineups based on where he's finishing, because no one rosters him. So That's the ownership idea, and this is the perfect week for it. A lot of these lineups are not going to feel good to make at all, but that's where you're going. That's why Cam Champ, as bad as he's played, we've seen him win like once or twice a year, and that's the kind of stuff you're looking for. So keep that in mind when you're building lineups, and if you're looking at ownership, if you have questions in the Discord, or you're tilting on Friday because the guy's missing the cut, that's the risk you have to take to win a tournament. That's just the bottom line. So just remember that when you're doing it.
For sure.
75 to 79, you got Streelman, Reavy, Huh, Lahiri, Svensson, Shank, Smalley, Gim, Fratelli, Taylor, Griot, Laird. I have too many guys checked off here, so who do you like? This is disgusting.
Reavy at 79, 18th here last year, missed the cut the year before that, but made a bunch of cuts in a row before that one missed cut in 2019 or 2018. Eighth last week, 27th the week before that, missed the cut to Byron, but had two straight top 15s before that. So playing very solid right now. Chez is John Huh. I know you mentioned him last week, and he finished 13th, had a really good week. I think maybe Mayo was on him too, but he was still like only 2% owned. Maybe he wasn't. I didn't listen to Mayo, but I saw a tweet.
He's always on him. That's his boy, yeah. Johnny question marks.
He just likes, I think he just likes to be able to, yes, I think he likes to be able to tweet out that fucking whatever that show was.
It's Al Borland.
Home Improvement. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's 90s kids. Yes. We realize that. We watched that plenty. But decent course history, 50th, 7th, miscut, 64th, 50th, miscut. I mean, it's John Huh, so it is what it is there. Svensson at 7,700. He finished 18th here in his only appearance back in 2019 and has made 5 cuts in a row on tour with two straight top 25s. Doug Gim at 7,600, 18th here last year, coming off a miscut last week, but I think he missed it maybe like right on the number. Was that a par 70?
Last week at Travelers?
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Okay, so he shot one over. I can't remember what the cut was. The
cut was -2.
Yeah. 2 under. So he wasn't that far off. 18th the week before that at his last tournament before that, which was the Canadian Open, 60th and Memorial. He's just another one of those guys that's kind of like, you know, if he makes the cut, he could make potentially a run. And then last but not least, man, and I think he might be chalky because I feel like this is an underpriced in this field, Martin Laird, especially after the way he played last week. Finished 13th last week, didn't have a great Sunday, but was, started really hot, shot 63 out the gate on Thursday, and has made all three of his cuts at this tournament.
Yeah, no, this is a range that – I love Reavy. He's fifth in my model. Big fan of him. Like, there's no, if you're on Fantasy National with people, there's no red or pink on his sheet. Like, he's one of the few guys in this field where it just looks great. Johnny Huh is first in my model. It's like, it's even better. He's third in opportunities gained in this field, 70th in DK scoring. So, like, both those guys quite a bit. A good pivot is going to be Kevin Streelman at $7,900. This is a guy, a Midwest guy that you'll, good history here. Miscut last year, been T7, T44. Really plays well on short courses. T25 last week at the Travelers, back-to-back miscuts, T41 at the PGA. Definitely a tournament pivot in a guy like Kevin Streelman. I think Lahiri is another guy coming in really rough form, so that might get some ownership off him. You know, three straight miscuts. I have to actually click on his name to go back and see how well he's doing because the recent events aren't there. But three miscuts within sixth of Wells Fargo's, 15th, sixth. He made like six straight made cuts prior to that, playing some really, really good golf. So he's a guy that can make a good tournament pivot as well. Loves Svensson with you there. Had him a lot last week, and he had a great Friday to get into the weekend. Adam Shank crushed some of my only five or sixes I had. I had all Adam Shank. I don't know if prevented six of six. And it's weird, too, because he tee to green was great, off the tee approach, around the green. He lost 3.4 strokes putting last week and missed the cut, I believe. I think he finished one over or even par. But prior to that, 24, 26, coming in really good form at this event. When you look at Adam Shank, he T4, T6 the last 2 years. So I think he's a good one to go back to. Alex Smalley, I love his Korn Ferry scoring abilities here and playing some good golf on tour. Fratelli's one here, and then Nick Taylor is the other guy I'll mention here. Nick, he's 33rd in my model, plays the short courses really well. So I like him. And then, of course, you mentioned Marty Laird. Laird is too cheap in this field. He's way too cheap in this field.
I feel like he's going to be super chalk.
He should be. Like, he's earned the chalk on this one. So I'm with you on that one. 7K to 74. Who are you liking?
Kazire at 7,400. Three for three in made cuts for him at this event. Finished 11th here last year, coming off a made cut last week, almost DFL, but 64th. Two straight missed cuts before that. I mean, like,
this is the course history versus current form argument here.
Yeah. Lebiota finished 8th here last year, has made two consecutive cuts on tour. Chris Goddard at 7,300.
He's going to be popular.
Yeah, he's a guy who's kind of gaining some, I guess, notoriety in the game of DFS. Two straight made cuts for him. He made cut last week, finished 35th, 43rd at the U.S. Open the week before that. Has never played here, at least on tour. Matt Wallace, never played here. Does have four straight made cuts. Two of those were on the European Tour, but the last two were over on the PGA Tour, finished 46th last week. Nate Lashley at 7,200. He could get steamed up. I could see that. 25th last week. Never played here. Chesson Hadley, 7,100. Finished 34th here last year. Had a miscut before that and 25th before that and then two straight miscuts before that. But 5th last week. Chesson Hadley finished 5th.
Came out of nowhere, dude. I opened up the app on Sunday and I was looking at the final, like, top 10, and I saw him on there. Like, where the hell did he come from? Yeah, I'm with you, man. Like, I didn't see him anywhere all weekend, and then I didn't get to watch any on Sunday. I was running errands. I just opened my phone up to see who won, and I saw his name. Like, I'm like, what the hell is this? 100% with you.
5th last week. Made the cut to Byron Nelson, which was his previous start before that on tour, which was 69th. Miscut, 53rd. Miscut, 63rd, 61st. Miscut.
Sounds about right.
So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. That's all I've got above 7K.
Yeah, this is an interesting one because Kazire is literally, like I said, he's almost all red on the deal. He's 117th in my model, but he's phenomenal at this golf course. Pick your poison. I like Mark Hubbard, 21st in my model. He got in the field because Brooks left last week. And he finished 44th, I believe. He's 10th in proximity I'm looking at. Really good birdie machine. If you're looking for a birdie fest, Mark Hubbard is a guy you can definitely take a look at. David Lipsky's 13th in my model, 10th in good drive, 6th in off game, 8th in DK scoring over the last 24 rounds in this field. I like David Lipsky quite a bit. Goddard, I have checked off. I'm curious to see the ownership in that one. I have Pendrith checked off. He's 22nd in my model, but I will be very honest here. He has not played in a while because of a back injury.
Yeah, so that's what I was getting ready to say. What's his deal? Because he was playing pretty well.
Great. He's second in DK scoring in this field. He's first in the par 5 scoring in this field. 9th off the tee in the last 24 rounds. I checked him off to remind myself when I make my lineups to look at him. But I'm also, if there's no reports, I'll probably just back out. There's so many options in this field. But he's a dude that could easily go low if he is healthy.
Yeah, well, he would be worth, like, if you're playing 20, maybe one lineup. And if you're playing 150, you know, you maybe put him on 5 or 10.
Yep.
I mean, he's worth a shot.
If he hadn't been injured, obviously, but he would probably be like 9K because he was playing that good.
He was
like,
playing pretty well. Yeah.
So you're getting a discount if healthy. It's a big if.
Back injuries guys, in golf, man.
Exactly. Never good. Nate Lashley, I said it last week, I could keep playing him, and it's because he's got the ceiling that we've seen. Also have his big floor, but 16th in my model, 9th in the par 4 scoring, 11th in DK scoring. I think he should get steamed up. We'll see. He never does. He's really good. Another guy similar to Kazire, if you're going to go recent form versus course history, Zach Johnson checks the box. He's playing not great golf, but you look at this event with ZJ here at 7,200. He's got at least 5 straight made cuts from what I can date back to. 37th is his worst finish, T5 in 2017. But problem is recent form, miscut. T23 at Charles Schwab, miscut over his last 3 events. So see what you want to do there. Same with Ryan Moore. He's got the course history, second place here last year, so he'd be a guy to look at. I like Ryan Armour quite a bit on short courses. A couple others. Sam Ryder in a tournament because he's such a boomer bust guy, especially on par 5 scoring. He's a guy to look at. And then Steven Yeager and Austin Smotherman. I love Smotherman this week. I was surprised to see him at 7K, so I will be jumping back on that train in a big way. But I'm surprised you didn't say the Yeager bombs. That's your dude.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right, what do you got in the 6K range? I know people are gonna get annoyed because I've named off so many people, but like I said, it's a tournament week, and you gotta just be flexible here. It's a bad one.
Kevin Chappell, $6,900.
I knew you were gonna talk about
it. Yeah, I mean, it's so he's 3 for 3 made cuts here. His last start was 2015. finished eighth that year, 52nd the year before that. In 2012, he finished 45th. It's just like, I don't know. The price to me is too low. I mean, I know he missed the cut at the U.S. Open. Okay. Before that, Wells Fargo, 62nd. Texas Open, 18th. Corrales, 15th. So it's not like he's been playing terrible golf, and he's actually a winner amongst a bunch of non-winners down here. Lee Hodges at 6,900. The model likes him pretty well. Three straight May cuts for him. Finished 25th last week. You know, good luck. Vaughn Taylor, probably going to be a popular guy. I mean, but he's in the 6K range, so it's not going to be like crazy popular. 34th, 6th, 34th in his last three starts at this event, and has made two consecutive cuts on the PGA Tour. That's all I got, dude. I don't know what else to do.
It's not pretty, no, to say the least. But yeah, for me, I had Hodges checked off. I'm with you 100% there. Vaughn Taylor's 20th on my model. Rory Sabatini, 7th in my model. He's 7th on par 5 scoring, 4th in proximity. Problem is he has not played great of late. If you're looking at Rory Sabatini, he's coming in with the miscut, 52nd, 25th. He made about six made cuts prior to that. But back-to-back miscut to the Travelers and the RBC Canadian. And if you go a little deeper at this event, back-to-back miscuts. So pick your poison there.
One of them was a WD, though, I think.
That's true. But a couple others, like Kelly Kraft had a big week last week. You can try to ride that wave if you want in a birdie fest. Chase Seifert, he's 11th in my model. He's at 12th in opportunities gained, so hopefully he can just get hot with the putter, and maybe he can sneak into the weekend for you. And then Robert Streb would be the only other guy. I rode him to a made cut last week. He's 2nd in par 5 scoring in this field. So if he can sneak into the weekend, you could give him a look as well. But yeah, it's bad. I tried to avoid this range if all possible for you this week. All right, let's recap things, Jesse. 10K and above, who's your top choice?
Thigala.
Yeah, I'm not even going to get cute. I'll say Thigala as well. 9K, who's your top choice?
Of the four, Howell.
I'll go Seabez. It's between those two, though. I'll say Seabez. 8K range, who you got?
Nick Hardy.
I'm going to go P-Raj. P-Raj week, but there's a lot to like, at least for me in that 8K range. A lot of pivots. 75 to 79.
Chez.
That's probably the best play, yes. I'm going to say Adam Svensson for me, but I like Chez quite a bit. 7K to 74.
I guess I'm about to go with Goddard up. I'm just gonna jump on that bandwagon, I guess.
It's not bad. I'll go with Hubbard. Mark Hubbard would be my guy. 6K range. If you got to pick one, who you going?
Vaughn Taylor.
I'm just gonna say screw it and save some money and play Robert Streb. If you're going down here, just go down here. That's the way I look at it. Like, don't even
take his price.
He's 66. Just take the discount and see what happens. That'd be my 2 cents. This could be like the Mexico week. 5 of 6s could do pretty well if you just punt one of them, go get the other big dogs, and see what happens there. Cash is going to be tricky this week unless you stick in the 7 and 8K ranges is what I would suggest. I wouldn't get too cute here.
Yeah.
If you're starting out a cash lineup, where would you start out this week?
I would withdraw my funds from DraftKings. I would say Nick Hardy, Adam Long, Chez.
Dude, we had the same three. I had Hardy, Long, and Chez. I'm sitting right here in front of me. So we're on the same page on that one. That's where I would be rolling as well.
I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we don't play a lot of cash in golf. I play cash in other sports. I love it in football, not so much in golf. What do you like for a tournament, though? Because people are annoyed. Like I said, it's a great tournament week if you really want to.
Yeah. So Nick Hardy.
Yep.
Scott Stallings, you talked me into him. I like that angle. I think he's going to be low-owned. And then you could do somebody like Martin Laird. I think
it's a good Laird, tournament start.
Depending on his ownership. I mean, like, again, this, like you talked about already, ownership is going to be a big deal.
Yeah. Big deal this week for sure. For me, Hardy is a good one. I'll try to be different to give people a different approach here. Give me Cam Davis with some, Chez Reavy and Mark Hubbard. That's where I'll go with those three. That allows you to do all kinds of stuff. You could have a lot of fun on this one, but it's going to be a fun week. If you have any questions, hit us up in the Discord, because I finalize my lineups on Wednesday. I kind of wait for ownership to funnel out. Like, I reserve my contest now and see where it goes, but I'll do my 20 max like usual and play around with it from there. But Any final thoughts, Jesse? This is a people make fun of this week, and I get it. The field sucks. Oh, my bad. I was just focused on 20 max. Let's get into golf bets. This is a great week for first time winners. Adam Hadwin is the odds on favorite at DK Sportsbook at 10-1. who do you like this week, Jesse?
Can you imagine betting Adam Hadwin at 10?
So Heath is 25 and Hadwin's 10. That is just wrong.
Yeah. And even Saheeth at 25, I don't know if I want to touch that.
Jason Day is 35.
See, that, I mean, that has more merit to it, in my opinion.
I'd rather play him at 35-1 than on DK at 10,000.
Yeah, I was going to say Scott Stallings, but I mean, like, maybe a top 10 bet on Scott Stallings or something like that. Nick Hardy at 40, Chez at 45. I like what I looked at, Schenk there, 60. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I'm. Looking.
I'm just going to, if we got to get weird with it and look for first time winners, I don't believe he's a first time winner. I believe he's won before, but Nate Lashley's a guy that can run hot at 65-1. That could be a fun one. But guys like Alex Smalley at 80-1, he's a younger guy that's been playing some really, really good golf. So you can see him run hot or at least get like a T10 potentially with a Smalley. Other than that, though, it's tough. Like, do you think Jaeger runs hot? Do you think Mateus Schwab runs hot? Those are kind of the options you're looking at here. But I wouldn't be shocked if we see some of these dudes near the top of the leaderboard. Like, I like the Laird call at 70-1. That's got some appeal to it.
Yeah.
And Svensson at 65. Like, that little range there, at least like maybe 10 or 20 bets, you're going to get some fun names coming through for sure.
Yeah. I mean, between 40 and 70, there's some, I think, some decent.
Some live darts on this, in this field for sure. All right.
Probably not a bad one to live bet, though, too, really, to be honest.
100%. Like, see how the waves go, because I haven't even seen weather yet. I don't even, it's the Midwest. Anything can happen. It's probably humid, and who knows what's going on. But it's on the border of Illinois and Iowa. So keep that in mind.
And right by a casino.
Oh, too bad Pat Perez isn't playing. That's always a
Grayson Murray is.
Grayson Murray is. Dude, those stories, my God. But yeah, maybe we'll get a club snap. I don't know. We'll see what happens. That'd be fun. If we didn't even mention him, he's only $6,900. We play Grayson Murray this week. No. all right. Final thoughts for the week. Like, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun golf. I got nothing planned yet this weekend except July 3rd parties, I guess, on Sunday. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, it's the John Deere, man. Next week we get the real best golf tournament of the year, though, and it's the Barbasol.
Yes. Are you going? You playing in the Pro-Am?
No.
Oh, you'd be so much fun. So much fun.
I'm not going to that. It's just a mess to get into, get out of. I'm not dealing with it.
You just like to play it when no one's around, so it's all good.
Correct.
Perfect.
I'll probably play it the week after, but not this week. Or not going there this week or next week, whenever the fuck it is.
All righty. We'll get her done. We'll have some fun. That's where I believe Seamus Power won last year.
Correct.
So that'll be fun. But we will be here to preview that. Talk some Scottish Open for you next week, which is a loaded field, like a big boy field, getting ready for the Open Championship and much, much more. Make sure you check out the podcast on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS. Jesse is at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Entrick. Until next time, everybody, this was your 2022 John Deere Classic Preview. Catch you all later. Anybody ever